Every time you buy an airline ticket, part of what you're buying was decided by engineers before you were born. The width of the seat, the angle of the recline, whether you have 6 inches of shoulder room or 7, those decisions live in the metal of the airframe. And once that airframe is certified, is flying as part of a global fleet, almost nothing in the commercial relationship between you and that airline can change them. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today I want to talk about a story that sounds like a luxury travel article, but is, at its core, an aeronautical engineering story. Emirates just launched a 56-seat premium economy cabin. The seats are an inch wider than what Singapore Airlines offers in the same class, and the reason Singapore Airlines cannot close that gap, even if they wanted to, is structural. The airframe will not allow it. Let's unpack what that actually means. Today's program comes to you from AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, 1 inch. Let me just sit with that for a second, because to a non-pilot, 1 inch sounds trivial. A rounding error. Something you would not bother to mention in a product brochure. But ask any pilot how much 1 inch matters in a cockpit. Ask anyone who has ever tried to find a comfortable position during a 7-hour crossing and come up short literally by a margin you could measure with 2 fingers. That inch is the difference between a seat that works and a seat you endure. Emirates is offering premium economy at 17.5 inches of seat width. Singapore Airlines, in their premium economy configuration, comes in at 16.5 inches. Same class, same fare category, same promise of a better experience than the back of the bus, 1 inch apart. And Singapore cannot fix it, because fixing it would require a different airplane. Here is the engineering story underneath that headline. Emirates built their new premium economy cabin around the Airbus A380. The A380's fuselage cross-section is the widest of any commercial airliner flying today. The main deck interior cabin width runs approximately 23 feet across, give or take configuration. That is not a small number. Boeing's 777, for comparison, runs about 19 feet 2 inches on the interior cabin width. The 787 Dreamliner is roughly 18 feet 8 inches. These are fundamentally different tubes. When you choose your airplane, you choose your interior constraints, and those constraints apply to every operator who flies that airframe. Forever. Singapore Airlines operates premium economy on a mix of aircraft, including the Boeing 777 and the Airbus A350. Both are excellent airplanes, both are narrower than the A380. When Singapore's engineers sit down to design a premium economy product, they are starting from inside a narrower tube. That is not a failure of imagination or investment, it is geometry. The cabin width determines how many seats you can put across, how wide those seats can be, and how much margin you can give the passenger on either shoulder. Singapore can optimize within their constraints. They cannot exceed them. Emirates made a different bet. They built their long-haul fleet around the A380 and, to a lesser extent, the Boeing 777. And they configured their A380 to take maximum advantage of that wider cross-section. The new 56-seat premium economy cabin on the upper deck of that airplane gives Emirates something structurally impossible to replicate on a narrower fuselage without redesigning the aircraft. And this matters beyond the luxury travel market. This is a story about how aircraft type decisions made at the fleet planning level translate directly into ticket pricing decisions made at the revenue management level. The chain goes all the way from the manufacturer's engineering specifications to the price you see on a booking screen. Understanding that chain is something every pilot who ever plans to work for an airline or fly passengers in any capacity should have some grip on. Let me give you some context on the A380 that connects this more directly to what we talk about on this program. The A380 was certified by the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, or EASA. In 2006, it entered commercial service with Singapore Airlines in 2007, which is one of the interesting ironies here because Singapore Airlines was the launch customer for the airplane. They were flying the A380 before almost anyone else, but the way airlines configure the A380 varies enormously. Airbus builds the airplane. The airline decides how to divide that space. Emirates chose to put premium economy on the upper deck, where the fuselage cross-section actually favors a comfortable 3 abreast or 2 abreast configuration in a premium product. Singapore Airlines, for various strategic and fleet reasons, built their long-haul premium economy products around aircraft that do not offer that same interior volume. The A380 itself is a remarkable piece of aeronautical engineering that I do not think gets enough credit in the general aviation community because it is so firmly in the airliner world. The wingspan is approximately 261 feet. The maximum takeoff weight is in the range of 1,250,000 pounds, depending on variant. The wing is a supercritical design optimized for cruise efficiency at high subsonic Mach numbers, typically Mach 0.854 Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engines or Engine Alliance GP7200 series, depending on customer choice. The aircraft can carry between 500 and 850 passengers depending on configuration, though most airlines fly it in the 500 to 600 range. The reason the upper deck becomes interesting for premium economy is that the A380's upper deck, while narrower than the main deck, still runs significantly wider than most single-deck wide-body aircraft. Emirates has used that space cleverly, 56 seats in a 333 or 242 configuration depending on the row, with that 17.5-inch width per seat and approximately 38 inches of pitch. That pitch number is what converts an economy seat into a product that a passenger actually wants to pay a premium for. Pitch is the measurement from a fixed point on one seat to the same fixed point on the seat in the row ahead of it. Economy class on most long-haul flights runs about 30 to 31 inches. Domestic economy in the United States has, in some cases, compressed to 28 inches on certain carriers and routes, which, if you have ever been in one of those rows, you know is simply not compatible with a comfortable multi-hour flight for anyone above about 5 feet 6 inches. 38 inches of pitch in premium economy is a meaningful upgrade. It is not a lie. So when you add an inch of shoulder width to that pitch, you have a product that is genuinely differentiated from economy. Emirates is betting that passengers will pay for it, and based on the demand trends across the industry, they are probably right. Now, let me connect this back to why it matters beyond the premium cabin comparison. The broader story is about aircraft selection as a strategic product decision, and that plays out across every segment of aviation, not just the A380 versus 777 competition. When a regional carrier selects between an Embraer E175 and a Bombardier CRJ-900, they are making a decision that determines how wide the seats will be for the next 25 years. When a cargo operator chooses a freighter variant, they are locking in cargo volume constraints that cascade into every rate negotiation they will have with shippers for the life of that aircraft. The choice of airframe is not just a capital expenditure decision, it is a product decision that the airline will live with for decades. For pilots, particularly those of you on a path toward the airlines or who are already there, this framing is useful when you think about fleet planning discussions at your company. The airline business is, at its foundation, an engineering business operating on top of a regulatory and financial framework. The aeronautical decisions come first. Everything else is built around them. The Emirates A380 Premium Economy rollout also raises an interesting question about the A380's future, because that aircraft has had a complicated commercial history. Airbus announced in 2019 that they were ending a 380 production. Orders had dried up. Airlines that had ordered the aircraft, most notably Air France and other European carriers, were retiring them early or choosing not to expand their fleets. The four-engine operational costs were harder to justify against the more efficient twin-engine alternatives. The Airbus A350 and the Boeing 787 were eating into the market. The A380 was supposed to own. Emirates stood almost alone in continuing to take deliveries and operate the A380 as a primary fleet type. Emirates Chairman Tim Clark has been one of the aircraft's most vocal advocates, arguing that the passenger experience on the A380 is superior to anything a twin-engine widebody can offer, precisely because of the interior volume we have been discussing. And now, with Emirates investing in a 56-seat premium economy cabin on the A380, they are doubling down on that argument. They are saying the aircraft is not a stranded asset, it is a product platform. The interior volume that makes it expensive to operate also makes it possible to offer a premium economy product that is genuinely wider, more comfortable, and more differentiated than what the competition can offer from a narrower fuselage. Whether that bet pays off depends on fuel prices, load factors, labor costs, and a dozen other variables that extend well beyond the scope of this program. But the aeronautical logic is sound. The A380 is a wide airplane. That width has value. Emirates is monetizing it. Let me talk briefly about what this means for passengers, because even if you're primarily a general aviation pilot, you likely spend time in the back of airliners, and understanding how these cabin products are structured helps you make better purchasing decisions. Premium economy as a fare class has existed in various forms since the 1990s, but it has consolidated and matured significantly in the last decade. The class sits between main cabin economy and business class in price, in amenities, and in the physical product. What you are typically buying is more seat width, More seat pitch. A dedicated meal service that is better than economy but less elaborate than business. Additional checked baggage allowance, and a dedicated cabin that is physically separated from the main economy cabin. The separation matters. It is quieter. There are fewer passengers competing for galley space and lavatories. The width differential between 17.5 inches and 16.5 inches sounds small until you're sitting in it for 11 hours. Your shoulders do not compress to fit the seat. Either the seat fits your shoulders or it does not. An inch of shoulder room is the difference between a seat that your body accepts and a seat that your body spends the entire flight rejecting. Pilots understand ergonomics. Cockpit design has spent decades trying to get the seat-to-controls relationship right, precisely because the pilot's physical interface with the aircraft directly affects performance. The same principle applies to a passenger cabin. Ergonomics matter, and they are set in the engineering before the first passenger boards. Singapore Airlines offers an excellent product. Their premium economy on the Airbus A350 and Boeing 777 is consistently rated among the best in the world in that class. The issue is not quality, the issue is that the available width is constrained by the fuselage diameter, and no amount of investment in seat fabric or meal service changes that constraint. You can design the most sophisticated seat mechanism ever engineered, and it is still confined to the width the airframe allows. This is a general principle that appears throughout aviation. Performance envelopes are bounded by physics. The service ceiling of a piston single is not a marketing decision. It is a function of available power and the atmosphere's density altitude. You can tune the engine and optimize the airframe, and you can push the ceiling up somewhat, but at some point the physics says no. The same logic applies to cabin width. You can optimize within the constraint. You cannot eliminate the constraint.
Emirates happens to have chosen an airframe where that constraint is generous enough to matter in a commercial sense. That is the story. Sources for this segment include reporting from Simple Flying and publicly available specifications from Airbus and Boeing on their respective aircraft families. More at radiohangar.com. Keep the blue side up. I'll be back.